Christmas. Ba ba da ba 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 da ba. Happy Christmas. Woohoo!
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now only 196 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. It's time for another fantabulous episode of Christmas Creeps, everyone's favorite holiday podcast where we talk about Christmas movies and TV shows all year round. Since 2015, we've been doing this show, and it doesn't look like we're going to be stopping anytime soon. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Mr. Bradford has gone missing once again. So for this stocking stuffer, we have Johnny Five, the human robot, joining us this evening. Mr. Five, what's going on?
Not too much is going on. I just kind of skipped out on Anna May because I object to Anna hyphen May on humanitarian grounds. That's all I can really say.
Well, I did too, but that didn't save me, did it?
That's one of the perils of being the host.
Yeah, that's true. That's this. I knew the job when I signed up for it. But we're back, and it's June, and that means it's summer blockbuster season. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in the month, I feel like. But for now, we have the subject of... there's a brand new X-Men film in theaters right now. A brand new X-Men travesty. Because, like, this is just one of the sad facts of the universe. Like, there's always going to be... you know, baseball and apple pie and shitty X-Men films. So we have to talk about it in some way, shape, or form. So tonight's episode is all about the X-Men animated series, and specifically the Christmas episode, Have Yourself a Morlock Little Xmas. Stylized that way because, get it? It's X-Men. But, yeah, first things first, I just want to say, like, I did go see... Dark Phoenix, because I'm a sad sack who is hopelessly addicted to trash, and boy, let me tell you, there is nothing more depressing than watching a film franchise give up the ghost on screen.
How'd you say it on Twitter? You were like, it's like someone bulldozed a Kmart to build a Walmart?
Yeah, pretty much.
I incredibly can get that metaphor.
Because, like, sure, it might be a crappy department store, but it's your crappy department store, and you like the people that work there. And hey, it's getting bulldozed, and in its place, it's a shiny new corporate behemoth of a department store that looks the same and it has all the same stuff, but you just don't like it as much.
Yeah, and it's only less shitty, like, by default, like, because it can't help but be less shitty. But it's only like 2% less shitty.
Yeah, and I say that as a way of saying that, like, X-Men is a thing that I have been a fan of ever since I can remember. Like, I remember being a kid and getting up every Saturday morning to watch this animated series. And ever since that time, I've just been, like, hopelessly drawn to X-Men movies. And some of them are good and some of them are terrible. And Dark Phoenix, boy howdy, let me tell you, is the worst of the bunch.
Well, isn't it basically just X-Men 3 but more?
Actually, it's X-Men 3, but less, believe it or not.
Wow.
Because, like, after the Apocalypse movie, it got so big and so ridiculous that they decided, like, well, let's pare this one down and make it kind of a more serious and stripped down and, like, less extravagant affair. Partly because I think they had less money to play with, but also because they kind of knew in the back of their minds, like, this might be the last one. And instead of, like,
isn't Disney Marvel taken back over from Fox?
Yeah. So, like, Disney has no need for the X-Men anymore. And Marvel's kind of said, like, yeah, once Dark Phoenix is out in the world, we're going to let this one go for a while. And you're not going to see X-Men until, I don't know, 4 or 5 years from now. And by that point, you know, how much of the planet will be flooded?
Avengers 9.
Exactly. Like, once Marvel's Phase 4 kind of crashes and burns, like I think it will, that's when they'll say, okay, now it's time to get everybody back with the X-Men. That's kind of the plan, I think.
Yeah, are we gonna see, like, 30 reboots of the MCU once they start floundering, like we did with fucking Spider-Man? And there's my F-bomb of the episode. That's the only one.
There's your one. Just like Spider-Man, everybody gets one. Yeah, I think so. Like, they rebooted Spider-Man with, like, Sony's blessing, and it worked out, and everyone made money, so they get to keep doing it. And I think that's what's going to happen with X-Men. Like, they're going to try to redo it, and everyone's going to be into it because it's X-Men and it's Marvel, and how can you not? But deep down inside, we're going to know that it's not quite the same. And I don't know. I'm depressing myself the more I talk about this, because like, I actually genuinely like this X-Men series, as bad as it kind of is, because it's, there's just some kind of weird charm to the fact that they are just insistent on continuously putting this shit out. And like,
yeah, I don't really know. Even among like movie nerds, I don't know any movie nerds that are like, oh boy, I can't wait for the next X-Men one because I'm legit unironically excited for it.
Yeah, no. And like, the only reason I am is because like, I used to be a huge X-Men nerd as a kid. And so I get this weird thrill out of seeing them do stuff like Dark Phoenix, even though they've done it before and there's no sign that they're going to do it well, you know? And like, I was even thinking about this the other day, like with Dark Phoenix coming out and then basically saying like, this is it, we're done. Like, that's pretty much puts the kibosh on like us seeing any of the cool, weird X-Men stuff, like the Mojoverse or like Arcade and Murder World,
yeah, or like a Chamber solo film.
Yeah, exactly.
Jawbone just explodes at everybody for an hour and a half.
Or even,
I'm
just
sorry,
like,
2.5 hours. This is a serious movie.
Yeah, for exactly. Yeah. Or even just like introducing Lockheed the Dragon as a comic relief character. Like, I was kind of ready for that, and they never did it. And then I actually looked up Lockheed just to, you know, on Wikipedia, just to check him out. And guess what? It turns out that he was supposed to show up in that New Mutants movie that's never going to come out. So
New Mutants, that's the X-Men horror movie, right?
Yeah, that's like the X-Men horror movie that stars the other kid from Game of Thrones that has been pushed back like 10 times. And I think at this point, Disney's just going to be like, well, whenever we've got our streaming service up and running, we'll probably just dump it straight to that and be done with it.
Yeah, they just need to give up and just realize that the only X-Men series that's going to work is Deadpool.
And I hate admitting that because I hate Deadpool. I really, really hate Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool is the thing. It only works because of Ryan Reynolds. And even then, it's just like, I wish someone who knew jokes that weren't from 4chan circa 2006 was writing the script.
Yeah, like, Deadpool's a character that does work in small doses, but then when you make him the main character, he loses his charm remarkably fast.
No, I do like Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, but it's like, yeah, you kind of need something to... it would really be... I've not seen Deadpool 2, so I don't know much about that. But it would be really funny to see a Deadpool movie where Deadpool is one of like the least prevalent characters in it. But it's still called Deadpool 3, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if every other character in the movie had infinitely more to do than Deadpool, and he was just hanging around the periphery, yeah, that's kind of how he should be if they inevitably put him in the Marvel universe at some point. Like, he'll just be a side character, and everyone will kind of regret his presence, but there he is. And boy, howdy, am I not looking forward to any of that.
Yeah, I mean, he never shuts up. By the end of the day, he does have swords, and he never dies. So, I mean, he's useful for something at least.
Yeah, exactly. Even if he is kind of Bugs Bunny with a sword. So yeah, that's enough about extant X-Men stuff. Let's talk about this cartoon.
Enough about X-Men stuff. Let's talk about X-Men stuff.
Exactly.
So this cartoon makes a lot of assumptions about me. Mainly that I've been watching the rest of this cartoon and know a single thing that's going on.
I haven't seen this cartoon in like 20 years, and even I am only like barely familiar with what's going on.
It's like, okay, Gambit, Rogue, Beast, I know who those are. Morlocks, you've completely lost me. I don't know why this Leech guy is someone I should know by name. Like, I should be like, oh, it's Leech. Yeah, we gotta save Leech.
Yeah. Like,
apparently Storm is the leader of the Morlocks because I don't know.
Yeah, that was the thing that I was trying to look up, like, feverishly while the episode was going on. Like, when did Storm become the leader of the Morlocks? I have no fucking clue. Then there's my one F-bomb, so there you go. I have no idea when any of this happened, and it's not like... Okay, like, this is the series that, like, kind of popularized the Previously On segment in front of, like, cartoons. Because X-Men was, like, ridiculously serialized back in the day. And... yeah, I have no clue when this was supposed to have happened, or if it was just a thing that happened in the comics that they assume we remember. So, basically, the plot of Have Yourself a Morlock Little Xmas revolves around Jubilee having her first Christmas as an X-Man with an X-Man family. and it starts. Can we it opens up.
Jubilee for a second, though.
Sure, go for it.
Jubilee's presence in this cartoon is a very like studio executive type thing. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, well, we have to have a kid character because there's no way these kids just want to be the grown-up characters. Let's have a kid character to be mostly useless and run around and talk too much.
Yeah.
It's literally Anakin Skywalker in episode one of just like, oh, we got to have a kid in there so the kids relate to somebody. It's like, no, the kids want to be Luke and Leia.
Yeah. And even as a kid, I kind of felt that way. Especially like when you're a 7-year-old boy and you, like the main character of this X-Men series is a teenage girl, like that's the last character you want to interact with. But like looking at her today, like she's fine. She's a little bit annoying, yeah. But that's what a teenage girl is. And yeah, that's fine.
It's very obviously she's the main character though. And it really does feel that in that 90s trend of like, of Tailspin having like, even though there's a tiger and a bear flying a plane, for some reason, we're dealing with these two kids the entire time. And then, like, what's that show, Cowboys of Moo Mesa?
Which, the even Wild though it's West about Cowboys of Moo Mesa, yeah,
yeah, it even though it's about literal like cow lawmen and bandits and stuff, instead we're just focusing on a couple kids because why not? I could just pull a bunch more like deep 90s ass pulls of like cartoons, like Pirates of Dark Water was the same way. Of just like all of these things where it's like, why are you focusing on these kids instead of the characters that are interesting?
Yeah, like
kids aren't interesting because they're kids.
Wasn't the main character of Mummies Alive was a kid, I think, and the main characters of the Carmen Sandiego series were just two teenage kids trying to find Carmen Sandiego. Like that's just a thing that happened in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah, it was this assumption that we couldn't relate to this. You as a kid couldn't relate to the series unless you saw another kid there. And it's just like, no, I'm not pretending to be the kid. You're like running around the playground. You're pretending to be like, you're not pretending to be Jubilee. You're pretending to be Wolverine.
And what's weird is like from this era, like one of the only series that really didn't do that was Ninja Turtles. Because there really wasn't any like child character in Ninja Turtles. Well, I guess the Ninja Turtles were inherently teenagers, but that's different. There was no, like, little kid Ninja Turtle or little kid April O'Neil running around, you know?
Yeah, because it always has, like, some little kid, mostly useless, sometimes helpful, like, sidekicky character running around.
Yeah, yeah. So the plot of this thing involves Jubilee on Christmas Eve deciding that she has to go to the mall to get presents for the X-Men. And she drags Storm and Wolverine along with her. And Wolverine is the saltiest of salty people because the last thing he wants to do is celebrate Christmas in any capacity.
Yeah, these cartoon characters have just one note each and they are playing their hearts on that one note.
Yeah, like Wolverine's one note is eternal sourpuss. Gambit's one note is he's a guy from Louisiana, so he has to do all the cooking. Cyclops's one thing is that he's terrible at everything, including singing Christmas carols. When we started watching this episode, I thought something was wrong with the sound. No, it was just Cyclops being a terrible singer.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too where it's honestly kind of impossible to find this cartoon without having to pay like $2.99 for a 17-minute episode, which I'm not doing that.
No, like we found there are plenty of streams of this on certain websites. If you really want to find it. But hey, thanks a whole lot, Disney, for buying up Fox and then making it so that X-Men isn't available on Netflix or Hulu anymore. Like they have been forever.
Yeah, because I'm totally going thanks to give you, you know, another $14.99 for your streaming service. Oh, wait, no, I'm not, because that's what I have Netflix for. Like, no joke. I give Netflix money because I've been giving Netflix money. I have Amazon Video because I have Amazon Prime because I like making my mailman work on Sundays, I guess, because I'm kind of an ass. And I have Hulu because of Spotify. Like, I'm not going to buy more streaming services.
No. And if AT&T is serious about like getting their like Netflix killer streaming service up and running, all they need to do is just throw a bunch of money at HBO because they already have one.
I'm not. Yeah, it's just the cool thing about Netflix. Before was that Netflix just had stuff, you know?
Yeah, they had everything. Like between Hulu and Netflix and Amazon, they all had everything. And now that everybody has a streaming service, everybody's got a little bit of something. And it sucks now.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, back in the days when you basically had really bad cable or you paid way too much for DirecTV. You know,
yeah.
People were always complaining about, like, oh, why can't I just get this channel? Why do I get this gold package? And I'll tell you why. Because back with, I think it was DirecTV, where they had that gold, silver, and bronze packages, my parents had the silver one, except for my father wanted one channel that was in the gold package, and he got that a la carte. It was less than getting the full gold package, but only by, like, a little bit. Like, that channel alone was, like, 60% of the cost of getting, just getting, like, the jump up to getting gold package instead, I think.
That's insane.
Yeah. That,
like,
I'm not going to pay $14.99 for, like, seven different services.
No, the whole TV subscription game is fantastically broken, and I hate it. But that's where the money is, so what you gonna do?
Watch stuff on Dailymotion, because France apparently has no copyright laws?
Pretty much, yes. That is the answer. So Jubilee and Storm and Wolverine go to the mall to buy Christmas presents. And you can tell right away that Jubilee is in her freaking element. Like, I don't know. Something about her in the mall is just, it's like she went home. Because that's where Jubilee belongs. Because she's a teenage girl and it's the 90s. And then we immediately are rushed into the conflict of the episode, which is that the Morlocks, they don't really kidnap them, but they more or less kind of strong-arm them into helping out with a Christmas crisis that they have on their hands. Because the Morlock, by the way, the Morlocks are like the X-Men if the X-Men didn't have a mansion to live in and instead live. The Morlocks are the X-Men if the X-Men were Ninja Turtles, basically.
The Morlocks are the sewer mutants from Futurama.
There you go. But the Morlocks have a sick child on their hands named Leech, who I vaguely remember from one of the movies, whose power is that he can stop other mutants' powers from working.
Oh, it's Stryker's kid from X2. Okay.
No, it's really? It's the kid they were trying to rescue from X3.
Okay, what am I thinking of with Stryker's kid in X2 then? What is his power?
His power is, like, mind manipulation.
Okay.
Yeah. So they go and they discover that Leech is dying because apparently he went up to the surface and caught a cold, and he has a horrible immune system.
You would think living in the sewers would make your immune system pretty damn good, to be honest.
Especially, like, when you're living in the sewers of Manhattan, like, the poop capital of the world. Oh, well. Anywho, so the immediate solution to this plan is to give him a blood transfusion from Wolverine, because Wolverine has a healing factor, and hopefully that will help Leech. Assuming that Leech's mutant ability of stopping other mutants' powers from working doesn't kick in, which they don't actually say out loud, but anybody who knows anything about X-Men is immediately thinking in the back of their minds, like me. This does not come into play, because that would be an actual conflict, and we can't have that in a children's TV series. So, I don't even know what happens from here. From here, basically, they call the X-Mansion and say, hey guys, guess what? We're stuck in the sewers helping out the Morlocks. Put Christmas dinner on hold and get your butts over here. Which Gambit is immediately put off by, because, as he puts it, you don't warm up Christmas dinner from the bayou. Also, I should note, the Morlocks have, like, the saddest Christmas tree since Charlie Brown pulled up a seedling. And I'm pretty sure they just stole it from Charlie Brown, because it's even more dilapidated than his. Like, the ornament's all messed up and broken, and it just kind of looks like it's been sitting in the garbage for a week and a half. And it's gross. But essentially, Wolverine's blood transfusion works, after all the X-Men have shown up to see that it works. And also, there's a Morlock named Abe who turns himself into a table. And I realize that might be the craziest thing I've ever said on this podcast.
Yeah, it's up there.
And also, there's a Morlock child named Mariana, who I'm assuming her mutation is that she's an anime character for some reason. Like, she came from a different style of animation entirely.
Yeah, just those gigantic
eyes.
Who is
basically like the... she's gigantic eyeballs, and she's just like some kid from some other cartoon. And also, I guess it's either her or Leech. One of them is supposed to be like the Tiny Tim kind of character. I'm guessing it's Leech because he's the one who's actually sick. But yeah, so Leech wakes up and everything's great. And the X-Men decide to have Christmas Eve dinner with the Morlocks. And everybody has a Merry Christmas. The end. There's really not a whole lot that goes on in this episode.
Yeah, let's actually talk about how this episode uses Christmas, though. Because it's something we've this is definitely well-trodden ground for us, where the way Christmas comes into play is, oh, well, bad things can happen because it's Christmas Eve, and it's Christmas Eve because it's Christmas Eve. And that
right, yeah.
That's all Jubilee keeps saying.
At one point, Jubilee says to Mariana, do you believe in miracles? And Mariana just has to ask, what's miracles? Like, this concept is completely foreign to me. You have to explain. And I'm thinking of the scene from Galaxy Quest where you have to explain it to him as though he were a child. What's miracles? I don't know. It's just things that aren't supposed to happen that happen. I don't know.
Kid's like, oh, you mean when that woman over there just makes it snow from nowhere, or when that guy just shoots claws out of his hands, or what?
Like when the guy turns into a table?
Yeah, it's really weird to talk about miracles in a setting where people have literal superpowers.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, what constitutes a miracle in the world of the X-Men? Like, because I can tell you something right now, there's a whole lot of mutants out there who can probably walk on water. And that's an affront against God. And you know what? I think I just turned myself into an anti-mutant activist. Oh, crap. Oh, no.
Well,
actually, now that I think about it, I don't know. I'm not the person to talk about when it comes to X-Men and its relation to religion. I really am not. Oh, boy. That's a kettle of fish I didn't expect to open this episode.
With the X-Men cartoon in general, this cartoon gets a free pass from a lot of people, I think. More so than it should.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of nostalgia built into this show, definitely.
And, I mean, it's definitely better than, let's say, something like G.I. Joe, which seems it's more descendant of that than anything else. Shows like that, like the ensemble cast toyetic shows of the 80s, basically.
Sure, yeah. But no, like, watching this for the first time in a long time, something about the voice acting really bothered me. And it's kind of hard to put my finger on. I think what it is that so many of the, like, the vocal acting choices in this cartoon are so literal and so direct, and everyone speaks exactly what is on their mind at any given moment, and they don't inflect unless they're Jubilee. Like, Xavier talks that way, Storm talks that way, Wolverine kind of talks that way. They all just have this, like, monotone kind of, like, monologue going on at all times. Unless you're Jubilee, who is the requisite child who gets to say things like, please, Wolvie, do it for me. You know, that shit like that.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, like, all the characters, like, again, with that one note, like, yeah, like, Cyclops is just Leonardo. I mean, he's the leader, and his personality is being the leader. Storm has that. Storm really talks like, what's her name? Not the blonde, but the other one from Team America. Is that Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Just
where she's like, I sense he's in a lot of pain. Like, yeah, he's writhing around on the ground. Like, you don't need to sense that.
Also, like, since when can Storm sense anything? Like, someone asks, like, one of the Morlocks asks Storm to help because Leech is very sick, and Storm goes, I sense they're telling the truth. Like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, since when can you do that kind of thing? Like, sure, you can kind of infer when you think people might be lying or telling the truth, but, like, she says it like it's her mutant ability to discern the truth. It's, no. I have a feeling this, especially because this is like the fourth season of the series out of like five seasons. So I feel like at this point in the show, they might have started to fall into certain patterns and rhythms and maybe stopped really trying that hard.
Yeah.
And it kind of bears out in the plot because there's really nothing to this episode, like at all.
Yeah,
like and this is the X-Men series that was like built on like serialization and like 4 and 5 part episode arcs of like seriously trying to adapt stuff from the like serious plots from the comic book, and then this episode is kind of just nothing happened.
Yeah, but
I don't get it.
Like of a show that honestly tried its hardest to not fall back into just Saturday morning cartoon tropes, pretty much. This one just like falls flat on its ass right in all those tropes.
Yeah, really. Like it's just a kind of by the book day in the life of the X-Men kind of story, and it just so happens that it takes place at Christmas. I know we don't rate these things on like an XY axis, that's for our mainline show, but like, man, even for an episode of X-Men, this is kind of a dire episode.
Yeah.
I was not a fan.
Yeah.
Like, this has been a rough week for me and X-Men, to be perfectly honest. Like, Dark Phoenix is terrible, and then going back to this show for the first time in, like, 20 years, did it no favors.
Yeah, I'm looking at the voice cast now just to see if any of these names stand out in any way, shape, or form. And...
Yeah.
The two things that stand out to me is that Lenore Zann, who played Rogue, is now just a Canadian politician of some stripe in the Nova Scotia House Assembly, which basically a provincial level representative, pretty much.
Wow.
And the original voice of Storm was Jackie Chiles' older sister.
Huh.
Because everything has to be related to Seinfeld.
Of course it does. Also, I should point out, like, at the end of the episode, the torrent, whatever you want to call it, of the episode that we watched, there was, like, a clip from some other episode of the show where the character Morph, who is completely an invention of this show,
I remember Morph from the show and from literally nowhere else.
Yeah, because he was invented for this show, and they killed him off in the first episode. And then apparently he shows up like 3 seasons later. But like, I was watching that little clip and I realized like Morph is basically Lloyd Braun from Seinfeld. Like he has that look. He looks like that actor exactly. And all I could think of was like Lloyd Braun just sitting there chewing some gum, like with all the X-Men. Just 3 X-Men sitting around chewing some gum.
Yeah, I didn't even know about Morph being like a former X-Men or whatever. I just knew Morph was a villain. Yeah.
Yeah, like they invented him for like the first episode of the series, killed him off, and then I think brought him back in the 4th season as like a villain, yeah. Or something like that. I could be wrong. The only other thing I know about the main like X-Men cast is George Buzza, who voices Beast, was the only member of the cartoon cast who actually got to show up in one of the X-Men movies.
Yeah, I saw that. He was some random truck driver.
Yeah, I do remember that from when that came out, like, people making a big deal. Oh man, Beast is in the movie. Not for long. But yeah, so Have Yourself a Morlock Little Xmas is not one I would recommend, especially if you are fond of, have any affinity for the old X-Men series, like I do. It doesn't hold up very well, as I think a lot of the series doesn't hold up particularly well.
Yeah, about the only thing it has going on with the larger overarching plot is, again, for reasons that we don't know because we haven't watched the other 4 seasons of this damn thing, Storm is the leader of the Morlocks, and it's made a big deal that she basically... It seems like some kind of like magnanimous gesture on her part where she's just like, oh, you mean these people in the sewers that I've been totally deadbeat dadding? Yeah, you guys can lead yourselves now. You're free. Here's a sock, Dobby. You're free.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she crowns Callisto, the de facto leader of the Morlocks, as their new leader. Like, she kind of, like, she wasn't already and wasn't acting like it on her own. It's insane. It's ridiculous. But yeah, this is one that I would not necessarily, like, this is the metric we always use. I wouldn't necessarily put this on at a Christmas party just because I feel like it's...
It would kill the mood.
I don't know.
Like, people would pay attention to it just to be, like, completely confused by it.
People would watch this at a Christmas party. People would watch this and then look at me and go, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to us? Which, now that I put it that way, like, I totally would do something like that, but I don't want to in this case. There are way more inscrutable things out there to watch at a terrible Christmas party. This is just kind of mundane and stupid. Oh, boy. So, John, any last thoughts on Have Yourself a Morlock Little Xmas?
No, I think we pretty much overcooked this one and gonna heat it up tomorrow, despite what Gambit wants.
That's right, Gambit. TV dinners are a delicacy around these parts.
Oh, I do want to...
That is all I got, man.
I do want to say one thing. Let's review which X-Men mutant powers were used in this episode. Let's see. Rogue,
okay,
Rogue,
sure,
flew around a little bit. Jean Grey telepathically stopped Gambit from using pepper on his food.
Storm used her snow powers to blind police officers. And she used her wind powers to save people from a flying ambulance. That's true. Wolverine's healing factor saved Leech's life, and that's it.
And then one of the Morlocks did the huge hand from Everlong thing, and another one turned into a table, if those count.
No, that was the same guy, I think.
Okay.
And I guess if you want to count Beast standing on the ceiling while he's cooking cranberry glaze, that counts too, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, it's very Ninja Turtles 2-y of just like, well, people got, like, critics got mad when we used our weapons too much, so let's just have them but not do anything with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go ice skating. And
also, how is Wolverine bad at ice skating? He's Canadian.
That's a very good question. I really don't know. You would think that Wolverine would be like an expert at hockey or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally only two things to do in Canada, drink and play hockey, and I don't think Wolverine can get drunk. I think his healing factor stops that.
Yeah, it's true. Wolverine's the kind of guy who would drink because he likes the flavor, and that's terrifying.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's going to have to do it for this episode of Christmas Creeps. I think we set ourselves up here, and I think this was not our finest hour. But you know, it goes with the territory. You know,
yeah, it goes to the territory of watching X-Men things. You just, oh, this turned out way worse than I was hoping or thought it would. Thanks, X-Men.
9 times out of 10, you're going to have a bad time. That's the X-Men fan guarantee. Take it from me, a hopeless lost cause of an X-Men fan. Dark Phoenix is in theaters now. Nobody is seeing it. For real, I went to see it last Thursday night, opening night. There were maybe 10 people in the theater, and when I went outside to go get a drink, there were more people in line for that night's Rift Tracks event than there were in the X-Men theater. It was sad.
Yeah, literally, the only awareness I have of this movie is, oh yeah, Sansa Stark's in it. Yeah. And that's all I know about it. And other than like, oh, they're doing Phoenix again? Okay, if you want to.
Not only are they doing Phoenix again, they're letting the same guy who did it the first time do it again.
Is that the guy who raped a bunch of people?
One bad take deserves... No, no, this is the screenwriter, not the director.
Okay.
Yeah, Bryan Singer's at least out of the picture, so we'll leave it there. But yeah, that's gonna do it for Christmas Creeps. I feel like this was a bit of a bummer on all accounts, and that's maybe my fault. So I take full responsibility. But if there's any other episodes of TV shows you would like us to cover at some point, please send those our way. You can hit us up on Twitter at Christmas Creeps. You can email us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. Go to iTunes, or I guess now it's Apple Podcasts, or YouTube or Stitcher, or I think we're on Google Play. I submitted us also to radio.com. If anyone's listening to us from radio.com, hey, shoot us a line. Let us know that, that's something that you do. Go to all those places.
I wonder if I could make Alexa play it then, because Alexa plays radio from radio.com when you yell at her.
Try that at home later. See what happens. But yeah, so for Christmas Creeps, I've been Joseph Wade.
I'm Johnny Five of the Human Robot, and I want to just have a quick PSA here. I am not trying to make fun or make light of the fact that Bryan Singer is just a horrible, like, sexual predator. He should be fired from the X-Men movies out of a cannon into the sun.
I do not disagree. Yeah, so for Christmas Creeps, I'm Joseph Wade, and Johnny Five is here. I don't know how to end the show now.
Oh, Joe's after that sign-off again.
Good night, everybody. Happy Christmas. Bye-bye.